I would like to turn to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and the 15th verse, and read. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And likewise from 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter and the 15th verse. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I would like to take these two verses this evening and build somewhat upon them. For I feel it is important that we might always be ready and able and willing to give a reason of the hope that is contained with each one of us. And I thought, too, upon this hope. We all have hope of eternal life, of something beyond this life, and so we ought to be able to give a reason for our belief in the church and the things that we believe and understand. And in order to arrive at this and be able to tell others of what we believe, individually or collectively, we must do what Timothy said, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that we might rightly divide this word of truth unto those who might seek to know. Perhaps some time in your life, you've had someone ask you what you believe or certain things that is a part of your belief, and perhaps you haven't been able to lay your hand on the particular thing that you would desire to tell them. One thing that separates us apart from the majority of the peoples that believe in Christianity is that we believe in the Book of Mormon as well as the Bible. And so that is one of the things that we should be willing and able to give a reason why we believe in it and why we accept the Book of Mormon. So I thought upon these things, and I thought in order for us to more fully give a reason for the hope, it is vital in each one of our lives that we spend some time in study before God. I found in talking to our priests, Bob and John, that it is their desire that we might be able, as a people, to draw more closely to God. And in meeting with them last Sunday evening, I learned, too, that they desire again to start in each one of your homes priest visits, which we have had in the past. And I think this is a goodly desire. But as we talked there that evening, I talked with Bob and John, and Harvey was there as well. There was numerous things that come up. And in their desire, they wanted to be able to present to each family a method that would install in each family and each individual in that family a desire to study, a desire to take a time each day in which they could set apart and actually have what we might say family worship or family study, as well as family prayer. And also, in this desire that they had, they realized that when they would approach each individual family, that there is competition today. And that much we all must acknowledge. For in each one of our individual homes, there is competition. And we might pursue it a little farther and say this: there is many activities today. There is a number of things which each one of us might pursue, a number of things which we might do. We find in our homes, oftentimes, TVs, radios, newspapers, books, and different things that we pursue. And so they realized that in order to get each family and get them to have a desire to set apart a time to study each day, that they would be in direct competition to these various things that we do have in our homes. And as well, we find that today you and I are a very busy people, seemingly. We seem like we have many things of which to pursue and which to do, and yet we realize that never was there a time in history wherein there was more modern conveniences to make life easier. Wherein, when we wish to travel from one place to another, we could climb into an automobile and be there in a short time and not travel by a slower method as was common in former years. And we find in our homes, and many of them, automatic washers, refrigerators, and different things of this nature which actually make life a little easier for our women folks. And likewise, we find in things that the men do that there's many things that have been put forth that do help to make things easier. And yet, in all of these things, and seemingly there should be more time, yet we find perhaps there is less time than there was in former years. And so when we think upon this, it should concern us that we must realize that regardless of all these things that we might have to pursue, perhaps there might be a ball game we seemingly think important, or some school activity, or some TV program, or something like that, we must realize that we must set aside a time to study. And of course, perhaps there would be exceptions when it might not be possible that day to meet and to study together as a family. Yet, we should realize that we should not make it the exception to study, but the exception when we do not study. Perhaps occasionally that might happen. But too often today, I fear that it becomes the exception when many people do set aside a time to study. And as Timothy so ably put it, study to shew thyself approved. And if we're going to show ourselves approved before God, we must realize it starts with study before God. And we find, too, another competition in the things that present us every day. And I thought upon this, of many of the commercials that we see upon TV especially. And I thought of little children that could go around singing or reciting a commercial upon TV. And they know them well, and I've heard many of them. And the sad thing in all this, though, that you could ask that same little child to sing a verse of some song, and they might not be able to do it. Perhaps you might even ask some of we adults, and we might not be able to do it, which would even be a sadder thing. So somewhere along the line, evidently, we must be slipping. If we want to face the facts tonight, we must be slipping. Because when we can see a little child that can learn something so ably as that, he could likewise could have learned a hymn or a passage of Scripture just as ably. But why not? Because that wasn't before that little child as much as the other was. That's why. And we find that our video, our vision, things that we might pursue and see, according to all teachers in the land today, they are powerful teachers, and we must realize that they influence peoples. During this week, since Monday, I have been very concerned, and I've thought considerably upon this. And I've thought, too, of the concern of Bob and John for each one of you, and how they might be able to help each one of you. That is a earnest desire on their parts, I believe. And so I thought how I must help. And I thought, as a pastor, it is my responsibility, perhaps, to lay a groundwork or a foundation for what they want to do or pursue. And so I've thought and given considerable thought upon it. And I thought about it as I worked. I mean, it was not far from me. And many hours I spent in thought. And I thought of different things that I might say. And I thought the thing that I should do is perhaps prepare a sermon and speak upon certain things. And I wrote down a number of things. And as one day, a Friday morning, as a matter of fact, I had been given it considerable thought, a morning in which I was pruning, I was upon my stilts pruning, the wind was blowing, my face was numb, and yet as I thought, the cold didn't seem so bad because my thoughts went to these things wherein I might be a help to you people, and maybe more especially a help to myself. And then something happened. As I was thinking, I suddenly spoke these words out loud. And I want to read them to you. Time, Marvin, to wake up. And those words I spoke with power that morning. And I spoke them with such power that it moved me so deeply that tears run down my cheeks and I wept. I could not contain myself. Time, Marvin, to wake up. And I thought, the time and place to wake up for me was with myself. If I must help you people, I must wake up myself. And it was born into me so strongly that day that I knew that it was time that I must wake up. And then the thought come to me too, along with that, a similar statement, maybe not exactly similar, but in Luke 24, and I would like to read it to you, 45 through about 47, out of the teachings of Christ. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooveth Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, and note this verse closely, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now Christ did not tell his disciples and his apostles there to go off in some far distant nation and start. He says, beginning at Jerusalem. But he said that they should preach repentance and remission of sins among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so I thought within my own life, if I am to help this people or any peoples, then I too must start right with myself. I must realize fully of my imperfections. I must realize that within my life, it is time, Marvin, to wake up. And I further thought, it is time that all of us wake up. Is it not? And I would like to bring a few things to our attention tonight to show that indeed it is time that we awake as a people of the Church of Christ. That we put on the cloak of righteousness. That we come down in the depths of humility. That we become a patient people in the sight of God, exercising wisdom. That we might do those things as pleasing to Him, that within our hearts might be that desire far greater than it's ever been to keep His commandments and follow Him, to study, that we might be approved before Him, to cling to the rod of iron, even the Word of Christ that will lead us on to the tree of life, wherein we can have a perfect brightness and hope of eternal life forever with Jesus Christ and God, a place in which there is peace, in which the former things that we know are all passed away. A beautiful life indeed, far beyond my ability to even explain it to you tonight. And that is what we have to look forward to. And we might think if in our individual lives, and I thought within my life of the things I would like to rid myself of, and I've thought of the things that I have had as a habit for years and years that I like to rid myself of. And sometimes it causes discouragement within my being. And I'm sure if each one of you would look within your hearts, you could find that there are certain weaknesses or certain faults that you would be happy to rid yourself of. And how do we do it? And I've heard some say, well, I try to do this and I can't seem to succeed. And I thought too that perhaps maybe we're trying to do too much all at once. It has took us a while to get the traits within us that we might consider displeasing to God. Perhaps it might take a while to rid ourselves of such traits. And I would like to tie Psalm 312 with a part of this. And I'd like to dwell a little on verses 2 and 3 and 4. Sinful thoughts and words unloving rise against us one by one. We must watch our thoughts. We must watch our words, that we might not say unloving words concerning a brother, that we might arise in brotherly love and kindness toward each other. That is part of our rightful duty before God. And if we learn to pray with real intent of heart, as we are admonished in the book of Moroni, perhaps we can go a long ways on to accomplishing this task. Acts unworthy, deeds unthinking, good that we have left undone. That is part of our Christian duty, is doing good. Have we left good undone when it has been our opportunity to impart such? Hearts, and listen to this, hearts that far from thee were straying, while in prayer we bowed the knee. And indeed, we are such a busy people today that perhaps it is hard when we come to a prayer service to shut off the things that we were doing. And so as we bowed the knee, our thoughts did stray. Has that ever happened to you? Has it ever happened to you when you maybe knelt for family prayer, that maybe you was rushing through your family prayer and that your thoughts were straying? There's a lot of fine admonition in this psalm. Lips that while thy praise is sounding, lifted not the soul to thee. So when we sing these praises of God, we must lift our soul to God like we really meant it. It is time to start. Today was given to us to God, by God to prepare. Precious moments idly wasted, and listen to this, precious hours in folly spent. Well, we could read more here, but I think this will suffice to show that these moments were given to us by God to prepare, that we must not waste precious hours. And I could look within my own self and think, yes, Marvin, indeed, when I said that to myself, how true it was. I feel, as I have told some here, that it is my duty to note the things that are written in the newspapers, that I might know of particularly different things that point to the signs of the time. And yet I full well realize in my own life sometimes I spend too much time in pursuing it. I myself must learn to draw a line on how much I spend. In fact, sometimes I read for a while and then I fall asleep, and then I notice a lot of the evening is gone. And so I look within myself, and so I see that I can have a lot of improvement within my individual self. I can see that. And perhaps maybe some program I might, particularly comical or something, might enjoy on TV. And then I found I watched that, and maybe I spent an evening watching when I should have been studying. And perhaps there might be other things that you might do. Perhaps there might be a time when you could have studied and maybe a ride in the country seemed more enjoyable. Or maybe doing some little task in the household that seemingly had to be done, or some other thing. And so we want to think upon these things and think deeply. A number of years ago, I took a part of a clipping from the Reader's Digest. And I would like to tie that this evening to a part of what I have brought here. Now, it seems like that perhaps we would like to rid ourselves of some particular fault. And it has taken us maybe years of this happening to us to have that fault. Maybe we have pursued something so long that when we desire to quit it, it isn't easy. And so I thought of this article in October 1956, Reader's Digest. every aspect of your personality is stored in your brain. This includes your willpower, which is also developed by practice. So we have been diligently practicing all through the years, and some of these things we have been diligently practicing might not be the best for our soul welfare. And we've developed it with willpower. We must develop with willpower likewise if we wish to rid ourselves of some certain thing. And further on here it says, you can sometimes even improve your tomorrow's mood if you will say to yourself when you go to bed and believe it that you will be more cheerful in the morning. So maybe someday we have been real disagreeable. And if we go to bed that night with that same thing on our mind, we can hardly hope to wake up any more than disagreeable the next day, can we? And I thought of a little saying that I see written on some things that they sell, maybe little pieces of wood. And it says, why be so disagreeable? With a little practice, you could be a real stinker. And so I thought sometimes maybe we even become real stinkers. And so it says here, though, when we go to bed, just say you're going to be better the next day and believe it, and when you wake up in the morning, you can be more cheerful. We can actually cause that our very being can be different before God if we wish to work upon it sufficiently. And so, going back a little, how are we going to approach this problem? And I think perhaps of no better way of approaching it but to start right within our homes. And I think how important it is that we realize the importance of family worship. We might have to miss some favorite TV program or something on the radio. We might even have to lay aside the paper for a while. These things that we think so important that we got to say or do or follow, yes, we may have to lay them aside a while. And then get together and study and maybe pray a while. And do you know, after having done that regularly, your souls will be richer before God and your joy will be so much greater that you'll wonder maybe why you hadn't done it sooner. And then some, I find, in talking to some of our members here, have become very concerned over this very thing. In fact, I heard a testimony a few months ago, and this individual stood in our midst and said, and told of the importance of prayer. And he knew of the importance of prayer. And yet he says, sometimes you realize that a day has passed and the only prayer that was offered was upon the blessing of the food. Now that individual earnestly knew of the importance of prayer. And another individual said this. You know, he says, it's difficult to say a family prayer during a TV commercial. Now that might sound funny to you. But it isn't funny because that individual had a problem. So I wanted to present these two before you tonight. I wanted to try to install in you that now is the time to awake. We mustn't put it off to some far distant future, because if we do, it will be too late. I will assure each one of you tonight, it will be far too late. And then you might have some to say, I can't find time to do this. And do you know something? We sung a song this evening. Number 322. Said, take time to be holy. And as hard as I read that song, I don't find one word in it say, find time to be holy. I don't seem to find it there. And so if you're going to have time to be holy before God, it isn't because you're going to find a time. It's because you're going to take the time. And so I want to dwell for just a few moments on a verse or two of this particular psalm. Verse 1 and 2. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. It didn't say occasionally or in times of great duress alone, but speak oft. Prepare yourself when things are going smoothly, so that when great trials come into your life, and let me tell you, they will come, and they will come more and more, that you will be prepared to deal with those trials. Abide in Him always, and feed on His Word. Yes, feed on His Word. Make friends of God's children. That's the ones to make friends with. Not with the things of the world. Help those who are weak. And here's something I wanted you to note and think upon. Within our midst here, there is some that's weaker than others, and there's some that's stronger. And the admonition this night to you who are stronger is to help those who are weak. And if you fail in that, you have failed in part of your duty to God, I'll assure you tonight. And there's some of you that are more capable of pursuing certain things than others. And so this psalm says, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. And if there was ever a world that was rushing, it is today. So you're going to have to take time. We're caught in the rush. We have been rushing. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Well, the perfect plan, blueprint, whatever you may call, spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. And listen to this, thy friends in thy conduct His likeness shall see. Do your friends in your conduct the likeness of Jesus see? Do they? I'll let each one of you answer that. I wouldn't even ask for a raise of hands on it. But it is mighty fine admonition, is it not? We could read the rest of the psalm, but that much we will leave with you. In 3 Nephi, the 8th chapter and the 52nd verse, we have this statement. Pray in your families unto the Father always in my name, that your wives and children may be blessed. There, a direct commandment of Jesus Christ. And that commandment especially to the fathers, to pray in your families that your wives and your children may be blessed. And so we fathers must do that. And if our children have grown up, you who are older, mostly have grandchildren. So our duty does not stop. Our duty will not stop till we lay down this life. We see that the responsibility of a father is great, and we cannot minimize the equal responsibility of the mothers. But, lest I forget, and lest the children forget, the responsibility isn't solely with the fathers and the mother, but it is likewise with the children. And from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and verses 1 through 4, let us read. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. A direct commandment to you children, each and every one of you children, to obey your parents. And you notice that says in the Lord too. There might be parents today that would give their children impossible tasks. They might rear a child in the way he shouldn't even go. But this says in the Lord. I want you to notice that. And then a rather forthcoming commandment. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what is that promise? That it may be well with thee. Hear that? And thou mayest live long on the earth. And that is a rather marvelous promise. And listen to this, ye fathers. And it is equally the duty of the mothers, even though it don't mention them here. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, is that plain or is it not? Now, this is something that's been here for years for the benefit of peoples, if they just would avail themselves of it. And it is very important that we do raise and bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We must heed this if we expect to hold our youth. And let that sink deeply into your heart. If you wish to hold your youth, you must heed that particular commandment. We can't expect to hold our youth by figuring out some new ways of entertainment that might keep our children entertained. No, that's hardly the answer. I don't mean to say that we aren't supposed to have recreation together. No. But I do mean to say this. If you hope to hold your children, it is because you, each one of you, have taken time to be holy before God and to teach your children in the things that they should do and the way that they should follow. If we hope to teach our children so that they might be able to carry through trials that lie ahead, how are we going to do this? And some might say, well, I've been a good father. I took my boy to the ball game last night. I saw that they got to go to the movie the other night. I took them bowling. And a multitude of other things that we might do. Yes, I've been a very fine father. But in all of this, you failed one thing. You failed to find time in there to teach your children and to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the world, or of the Word of God. And so, actually, when you look, yes, you had kept your child very well occupied, so he wasn't out running around and perhaps getting in troubles. But yet, in this point, you failed to impress upon him the things that would sustain him through the days of trial and the days of need, the necessity of clinging to the rod of iron, the Word of Jesus Christ, that would carry them through. And that is the only thing that will carry our children through. Childhood was not once so complicated as it is today. And as I thought upon this, and looking back upon my own childhood, I thought how different today indeed it is. And also, I happened to take a clipping from the Family Weekly of January the 14th, 1968. And in this, there was an article. It says, "The qualities that make a good husband have not changed today." But there's one thing that has changed, and that is the times have changed. And then with this article, there was two cartoons. And so, I want to tell you a little bit what is up on these two cartoons. If I had a place I could blow them up this big, I would show you them. But in the first cartoon, underneath the picture, it says, "Years ago, Dad was number one, the center of family attention." And here it shows a father coming home from work. And I want you to note this. Picking up the little girl who had just been playing with her doll, and the little boy running to meet him who had a train upon the floor that he had been playing with. And there was mother waving to him with an apron and a dress on and preparing the evening meal. And then I thought back to my childhood. This brought me back. And I thought of when I run to meet my father. And I thought of my own children running to meet me when I was younger. I thought upon that. Indeed, there were far more delightful days than we ever even realized. But I want you to note the second cartoon. Here was Father coming home today with his briefcase in his hand, a hard day at the office, coming in the door, children not paying one bit of attention. Underneath it says, but today he's outragged by Batman in the latest ladies' fashions. And there was the little boy and the little girl watching a person being strangled on the TV. And there was a little boy with a bat thing over his head and the Batman wings that go behind him. And their play toys, three guns or two guns and a missile and a racer and a cannon. And there was a teddy bear in the group as well. And there was Mother in the kitchen, not in preparing the supper, but looking at the latest ladies' fashions with tight-fitting slacks and a tight-fitting blouse on. And on the corner of the table, there was a little goblet, and that goblet was a cherry. So I presume what was in with the rest of it. I looked at these closely, and the longer I looked, the more I learned from these cartoons. It's something to be concerned about, isn't it? And in this same paper, I had occasion to clip another article by Patty Johnson entitled The Sex Year Olds. Kind of an odd title, but that's the title. And I just want to bring you a little parts out of this, not much. And it mentioned here, it says, the freckle-faced little girl in the magazine advertisement was surrounded by assorted cosmetics, including two tubes of lipstick. Then she reminisced on her own life of how at that age she would have been no more interested in that than anything. More interested in playing maybe ball on the sand lot with the boys or something of that nature. But here was this little girl with these things surrounding her. Television commercials show seven-year-olds at a dance. Cute kitty shows feature little girls barely out of diapers, suffering tortures, whether they will have a date with a boy who has just learned to print his name. You can turn off a TV set, but not today's preoccupation with sexual maturity. There's a lot in some of these articles. But then further down in it, she mentioned how even the mail order catalogs says it's old hat when they don't show this kind of thing in them. They offer cosmetics for five-year-olds and brassieres for little girls that don't even need such things. Parents have to go along with the trend. Otherwise, they're out of step with the times. And so further, she says here, I foresee this generation of grown-up toddlers. Imagine forcing adulthood on little children. And then she went on to say, I had permissive parents. There's something to think about there. And if you who are older would look back upon your childhood, and actually it was rather a delightful childhood. And as I was talking to some not long ago, what in the world did I ever do as a boy? We didn't have a radio for a good part of our life or TV. I managed to grow up without these things some way. It was rather a delightful childhood. Perhaps we were occupied with other things. We didn't have all the modern conveniences and things of that nature. No. Maybe we had to, when we put out the washing, had to run it through a hand wringer, and the children sat there and helped us. Part of our childhood. It really wasn't as bad as it seemed. Today we're breeding a whole nation of little old men and women. And so it's something to think about, isn't it? Is it any wonder many of our young revolt? Is it any wonder? Look at the way that they're being raised. Is it any wonder that some go out and join the hippies? That others take LSD? And others smoke marijuana? And the immorality is on the increase. Is it any wonder? And if one of the greatest problems in Vietnam concerning servicemen is the smoking of marijuana. Now, if those same boys had been prepared at home, if those parents had taken time with them to study, to prepare them, maybe they were ideal parents in other ways, but maybe they weren't in this. Perhaps they would be better suited to take care of their problems there. Might they not? And then some might say, why, this could never happen to my children. No. Here was a mother in Denver under the influence of LSD that killed her little baby. One of those little precious things that God said and Jesus said, for such is the kingdom of heaven. It's something to be concerned about. And then we say, could it happen to us? A lot of parents thought it could not. And we find that on certain weekends in Easter season that a number of children go to different resort places, and one Fort Lauderdale. And we find that some of the children get picked up, some for drinking. They get put in jail, maybe some for immorality or other things. And the parents are called and said, we have your son or daughter in jail, and expressed what they have done. Why, it must not be. My daughter don't do that. My son don't do those kind of things. So just remember, you say it couldn't happen to you, it might happen to you. So is not it time for each one of us to awake, to put on the complete cloak of righteousness, to serve God with all our mind, might, heart, and soul? Is it not? In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, I would like to read a couple of verses in the 4th part of this chapter. And this is the admonition of many years ago of God to the peoples. And then here it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently. What did that say? Diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. It might seem like quite a bit, but would it be worth it if it brought peace to each one of you and to your children? Would it not? I feel it's very important that we don't fall to the perils of our particular day. And I'd just like to read a few of those perils from 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and the first 5 verses. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And listen to this. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Well, listen at these things. That shall be some of the perils of the last days. And we commonly think of the perils of the last days as being the tornadoes, the earthquakes, and things of that nature. But here, to me, is even a greater peril, wherein men will love their own selves, wherein they'll be covetous and boasters and proud, blasphemers, and notice this, and disobedient to parents. Yes, a time wherein there would be disobedience to parents, when there would be unthankfulness and unholiness, pinpointing a time. When there would be a time when there would be those without the natural affection of God in their hearts, one toward another. Wherein there would be a time of truce breakers and false accusers and incontinent, which would be immoral. fears and despisers of those that are good, and then traitors, heady or violent, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Well, it's kind of pinpointed the time that we are living in, has it not? Having a form of godliness, yes, but denying the power thereof. From such, and listen to this, turn away. And so we must think upon these things. We must learn that pleasures isn't the all. Oh, I do not say that people should not have recreation, should not have pleasures. But we likewise should remember to take time to be holy before God. Isaiah 58, in the last two verses in that particular chapter, says this: If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And so we should think upon these things. And I feel very deeply that you and I together must prepare. We must each start with our individual selves. But we must do it likewise in unity. There is much to be done. If we hope to reach the peoples of this world, we must be able to set our own home in order. And there is no better way of setting our own home in order than making it a regular part of our home, inasmuch as possible. And I realize there's days when this might not be. Maybe it is. But let's make it a regular practice that we study, that we pray together, that we might be able to meet the problems that present us.
Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock, we have scripture study. Let's sing number 204. Shall we stand?
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we look unto Thee again in thanksgiving for Thy word that Thou hast given us. For these things that have been expounded to us this evening, we give thanks to Thee. We pray that Thou wilt help us to take these things to our hearts and to be guided in the days to come, that we might seek more earnestly to meet the needs of our everyday affairs, that we might look to Thee steadfastly in all the things that transpire from day to day, that we might prepare ourselves a little at a time against the days that are ahead of us. We pray for Thy watch care to be over us, for Thy guidance in Jesus' name. Amen.